Blog Talk Radio.
And a runner at third, nobody out in the first and didn't score. Second and third, one out in the second and didn't score. Smith corks one into right down the line. It may go. Go crazy, folks. Go crazy. It's a home run, and the Cardinals have won the game by the score of 3-2 on a home run by the Wizard. Go crazy.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to tonight's UCB podcast from Redbird Dugout. I am John Doble, and with me every time, as usual, is my favorite Canuckophobe from STL Cards and Stuff, Kevin Reynolds. Kevin, have you gotten over your fear of Tim Hortons, universal health care, and multi-party government yet?
You know, people are going to hear this for the first time, and they're not going to know anything about you or anything about me, and they're going to think you're serious.
Well, I've never heard anything about us. This first 5 minutes is not serious.
if you ever know anything about us, you can't really take anything serious that comes from either one of us.
That's true.
So I don't know that I've gotten over anything. I was hoping that Cardinals game tonight would give me a little bit of a boost, but you know, it just seems like every time this team tries to go for 500. What was it? A few years ago, it was the 10 games over 500. A couple years ago, it was the 10 games over 500 mark. Every time we'd get 9 games over, something would knock us down, and we just couldn't quite break through. And it seems like this year for this team, it's just getting to 500. This is where that wall's at.
Yeah, I think I did some counting, and I think the Cardinals are 5-5 this year when a win gets them to 500. So 500, trying to get to 500.
It's a magical number for Cardinals fans this year.
So, yeah, actually, I'm thinking the logic of that might be wrong because I don't know. Whatever, 5-5. I'm gonna go with it. Someone's gonna prove me wrong. I know it. I only counted once. So usually I count two or three times just to make sure I'm right. Because there's nothing worse than like tweeting a stat out, getting some retweets, and then somebody comes back to you with, well, actually.
Yep, I know that feeling. I think there was a time earlier this year where I was just sitting there thinking, I said something like a left-handed or a right-handed second baseman or something makes that play or something, and I was talking about Wong, and they said, I think you need to reread this. And I forgot that Wong is one of those interesting guys that throws right-handed and hits left-handed. And, of course, people just start throwing it back at you as soon as it hits the Twitter sphere. You got to eat it. You got to wear it.
Yeah. Well, come on, man. You should know. You never play a left-handed throwing player in the infield.
At second base.
That's just a bad idea. Second
right.
base, shortstop,
you know,
third base.
Funny,
just don't do it.
I actually caught it as soon as I tweeted it. I thought, wait a minute. That's odd. Unless he's a first baseman, I shouldn't be throwing left-handed. I thought, wait a minute. And as soon as I tweeted it out, I started thinking that. I went, oh no. Of course, they just started coming in like crazy.
Yeah, that's like Derek Gould the other night when he tweeted that everybody in the Cardinals lineup was drafted and developed by the Cardinals. And everybody was like,
yeah.
Oh, but Grichik. Grichik. What about Grichik?
Twice.
Hey,
twice
dude, you missed Grichik.
Twice he did it. That was that was great. Loved it.
Hey, they made mistakes too. No editor for him on Twitter, I guess.
What are we going to talk about
tonight? Cardinals team.
Man?
Yeah, I tell you, we're third place, 3.5 out. 3.5 out. We were 3.5 out before this game, weren't we? That hasn't updated yet. 4.5 out.
Woo-hoo,
yeah, what do we do the next 4 days?
Stare at Twitter. Research every potential trade rumor. I mean, I've kind of fallen into every piece of trade information, just retweeting it. You know, I don't care if it's the same piece of information. I just retweeted 3 or 4 times from 3 or 4 different sources. I'm just going to hit retweet. So today, I think it was Fernandez had been had been pulled early, and everyone was saying he's been pulled early. Is there a trade? He's been pulled early. Is a trade in the works? What's going on? And so I was just sitting there hitting retweet about 3 or 4 times, and somebody said, "No, Gould already said it was injury precaution." Oh, okay.
Retweet.
Yep, retweet. That's exactly what I did. Retweet, Mike.
Yeah.
Although, it's the time of year where everybody overreacts to everything.
Like I told you when we were preparing for this show, I don't buy any of that at this time of the year. You know, Martinez was pulled for supposed back tightness, and also the next day, it was traded. So how that works out.
Yeah. I don't know that I'd really want to trade for a guy who was out because of back tightness the day before. And then he got hit by a pitch like the first game, and they had to take him out early. He's supposedly injured on both sides of that trade. But what do you buy? Do you sell? Do you buy and sell? Do you maintain the status quo? You there, Kevin?
I am, actually. I am now. Not sure
did
what happened.
Did you redial in?
I did. I think you kicked me off, and when I came back on, you were still running. I thought I was the long-winded one.
Oh, yeah. Well, I was saying, I was talking about J.D. Martinez, and he got hurt on both sides of that, you know, if you believe the first story. He got hit by a pitch in that first game with Arizona. And, but the question was, so what do? Do you buy, do you sell? Do you buy and sell? Do you maintain the status quo?
You know, I think the worst thing the Cardinals could do this year, if it was any other year, I might say something else. But this year, I think the worst thing they could do is stand pat. And you've seen this, you even said something about it. I think it was today where you said, you know, I bought into that once, and now I just the idea that the Cardinals are willing and trying to acquire a core player, and they're willing to spend the money, they're willing to do what it takes to get that core player. You bought in once, and then, you know, we whiffed on one, we whiffed on another, we whiffed on how many others, and now it's you're kind of to the point where, you know, show me, and then I'll believe.
Yep.
And so the Cardinals, having put themselves in this position, I don't think they have the luxury of standing pat now. Now, that doesn't mean they have to go all in and buy or sell off every piece of the roster that could potentially bring even a bag of balls. But I do think they need to do something. And I'm still in the camp of even with the grand slam that Weaver gave up today, I am still in the trade Lane Flynn camp. I think it's going to be really difficult. It's going to be more of the same type of logjam situation the Cardinals have been dealing with next year if they happen to re-sign Lynn but don't trade off any starting pitching depth. And yet Lynn's probably the best piece that we have this year to try to do something, create some kind of movement. And I just think the Cardinals have – They've cashed in every chip they can with the fans up to this point. Here's where it comes down to for me. It's kind of like what I said when the Cardinals were negotiating with Yadier Molina. To that point, they had failed to re-sign a core player for the coveted Cardinal for Life tag. But they kept selling that concept to fans, even though they hadn't been able to pull it off. And they got to a point where fans were sick of waiting. And the article I wrote at the time was the Cardinals owed it to the fans to sign Yadier Molina to an extension that could allow him to retire a Cardinal. They've kind of gotten themselves in that position now. They've sold mediocrity and be patient and value your assets to the fans long enough. It's time that they start committing to something and create some roster churn and go after somebody in some direction. And I just don't think they have the luxury of standing pat now. So I would probably, if it were me, you can't deny the fact that they're a sub-500 team, and they have been for most of the season. So from that perspective, you've got to sell something. You've got chips that other teams could use, that you either that either have not been part of the solution or it doesn't make sense to hold on to them. And I'm talking about, say, Rosenthal, as far as not being enough a part of the solution to hold on to him, to demand that you hold on to him, or Lynn, who is somebody that could bring you something else, and you don't necessarily have to hold on to him. You have replacements in the works. So I think you could sell those pieces, but then you also can't deny, just like you can't deny that we're a sub-500 team, you can't deny that we're 4.5 games out at the trade deadline. You know, we could be 2.5 games out by Monday. We could be 6.5 games out. But we're in the fight, and nobody's run away with the division yet. And you can't ignore that in a market that says we're going to contend every year. So I think you sell off a couple pieces, and you acquire some guys, and you create some churn and some roster turnover. But at the same time, if you get the opportunity to flip somebody into some bullpen help or a bat, I think you have to listen.
Yeah, one of the things that I've said, and I really wish that they'd done this last fall, was pick a direction. Are you trying to win now? Are you trying to win in 2 or 3 years? And if so, you know, you have to assess every player you have, and if they don't fit that direction, try to flip them for somebody who does. And, you know, we went through the winter. I felt like the Cardinals just held on to the status quo over the winter, which pissed me off. Then you got into this spring, and they finally started making moves that really needed to be done over the winter, you know, with Broxton and Peralta. And, you know, then you have Adams. But ultimately, I feel like nothing on this team is really going to improve all that much until they fix the big problem that they have, whether that's the culture problem, whether that's from the manager or whether that's from a player. And I'd kind of suspected, you know, we heard a lot about last year how there was something wrong with the chemistry in the clubhouse. And a lot of it was pointed back to what we heard in spring training, where there was like a little bit of a leadership problem. There was some clashes about it. And it made me wonder if Holiday had been a part of that, and that was part of the reason why they didn't bring him back. But you never know. That's just throwing it out there. But
you know, I think it's time.
They have
I think it's time
talent
to take
issue.
The Cardinals do what?
I said it's a bigger – I think there's a bigger problem than just a talent issue in front of them.
Yeah, I think it – personally, I think it's time to throw the Cardinals' logic back in their faces. And what I mean by that is when the Cardinals were winning 100 games and when they were making the postseason every year of Mike Matheny's tenure, and when they were getting the World Series or getting just a win away from the World Series, all of that is valid, it's real, and you can't deny it. And you also can't deny that Mike Matheny played a large role in that. Regardless of what we think of Matheny strategically, tactically, you know, he's not a great strategic manager. He is good at what he does. And the Cardinals could always look back and say, everyone could always look back and say, they're winning. It's working. You know, they made a World Series. They're within one win of another World Series. They've made the postseason every year. They're a 100-win team. All of that was real. Whatever it is, it's working. We're not going to mess with it. You ask other guys around the league, other managers, other players, other front office guys, Mike Matheny wins. There was a Cardinals official that I talked to directly, and they were astounded that Matheny didn't win Manager of the Year when he dealt with all those injuries, and Madden won it that year. this official was legitimately upset that Matheny had not won Manager of the Year, that he deserved it. Couldn't argue with him. Agreed with him.
Yeah.
But it's time to face that reality on the other side, too. It's acceptable to say Matheny has done a good job in certain situations for what he does, regardless of what he did badly. He did well at certain things in certain situations, and it worked out. It's not working now. It's time for the Cardinals to look at the situation the same way they've always looked at the situation before, and that is results-oriented. You can like Matheny all you want to. I love Matheny. I think Matheny's was an outstanding player. He's a great man. But it's not working with Matheny as the manager. Whatever the culture is right now, it's not producing wins. You can love it. You can hate it. You can love the culture that the Cardinals have right now. You can love the clubhouse. You can love guys in that clubhouse. It's not producing wins. And it's time for the Cardinals to look at that the same way they've always looked at it in the past, the same way they've publicly commented on it, and say, whether you like Matheny, hate Matheny, like the culture, hate the culture, it's not producing what we expect in St. Louis, and we've got to change it. We've got to shake that up. And that has to happen now.
Better do it now than after you've made all your changes. And in a lot of it, I felt like if you think that there's a negative impact that Matheny brings to the culture of the clubhouse, you need to do it now, because you don't know. You have to assess these players going forward, and you don't know how that culture is affecting them.
Right.
It would have been very easy for a guy like Pham to say, you know, they want to discount me at every opportunity, I'm just going to cave. We discuss and talk about like Wong maybe has in the past, where he doesn't get that everyday opportunity. He doesn't have the backing. And so he struggles because he either tries to do too much or whatever. So it's one of those things where I feel like first things first, you got to solve that problem. And then you can determine what talent you need.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's a great point. You can't do both at the same time. Or at least simultaneously. In other words, you can't say, look, for the next 60 days, 3 months, off season, whatever, we're going to mix and match some pieces. We're going to find what works. We're going to move some guys out. We're going to bring some new guys in. You can't do all of that, get done, and then say, okay, now that we've done all of that, we're going to change the leadership of the club. Because if you do that, then you've gone through this process under that leadership, and now you're going to rip the head off of the beast. That doesn't make any sense. If you're going to make changes, and the Cardinals clearly need to make changes to their personnel, you have to start with the top, and you have to say, look, if we want things to really be different, we better get ahead of the leadership issue, put the pieces in place at the top, and then begin building this new roster.
Yep, and I don't know that the Cardinals are ready to do that. though Mo has been pretty good about, you know, the things that I'm like, okay, you need to do like now, and then he doesn't. He usually figures out about 6 months later that he needs to do it. So maybe this off season we've got a shot.
Here's what I think. I'm a Mo Zaylock guy. I'm a Matheny guy without being a backer of him as manager any longer. I'm a Mo Zaylock guy in that I think I still believe he's one of the best front office executives in baseball. But I'll tell you, I think there was a telling moment this year that Cardinal fans really need to pay attention to. And that was when Mo Zaylock stood up in front of cameras and said that his job was as much on the line as anybody else's. And then just, what, a month, 2 months later, he was promoted, knowing that the team really hadn't shown any culture change, competitive change, and this promotion has been in the works for 2-3 years.
Yeah.
For him to stand in front of cameras and say, my job's on the line as much as anyone else's, knowing that he was about to get promoted, was erroneous at best. And I think what that needs to tell Cardinals fans is there are things that Mo Zaylock says, and then there are things that Mo Zaylock knows. And Mo Zaylock can say that everybody's job is on the line as much as he wants to, but he knows as well as anyone that Bill DeWitt loves Mike Matheny. And Mo Zaylock likes Mike Matheny. And it would take a major shift from ownership for them to move away from Mike Matheny as manager. And I'm with you, I just don't see that happening. I think it's more likely they give him another 1 to 2 years trying to change the roster and say, we're going to give you a new roster to work with, than they do change the manager and then try to build a roster from there. I just don't see that happening.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which is not a good sign for the Cardinals.
Yeah, I don't think so either. So, but generally we're in agreement that, you know, you should be looking to sell right now.
Yeah, I mean, what's interesting is, you know, I'm looking at the box score for tonight. And after Paul DeJong in the Cardinals lineup, you had one hit. And it was from Greg Garcia in the eighth spot. And you had 8 strikeouts. And the 1 through 3 guys gave you 4 hits. And effectively what you're saying is the middle of our lineup, and Jerko was out, but Jerko hadn't been effective this month. The middle of our lineup has no punch. We have a Memphis Redbird hitting third. And he's doing a better job than
yes,
anyone has all
do.
Season. And
yeah.
And so you take that box score tonight on the Cardinals side, and then you look at how we were beat with the one guy in Martinez that everybody said, if the Cardinals are going to make a run at it this year, he's the perfect fit. Not only is he a bat, not only is he a middle-of-the-order bat, an all-star-level bat, an impact bat, but he slots into a position that has had rookie after rookie play at the MLB level this year, and also the guy whose job he would likely take has been sent to Memphis twice in Randall Grichuk, and even lower to work on his swing. I mean, you look at it and you say, if you really want a microcosm of the Cardinals season, and you're not talking about errors, you're not talking about poor defensive play or bad bullpen work, what you're really talking about is, this is what the Cardinals should have done. Let me say it this way. If you want to see a verdict on the front office for 2017, it was this game. Because everyone knew that the Cardinals needed an impact bat over the offseason, and they did not get one. And the very bat they were matched up with by most experts and many fans that was a perfect fit for them, they decided not to get. And he's the one that beat him with one swing of the bat tonight. And the rest of their lineup, where he would have slotted perfectly, got one hit from their eighth-place hitter who was a utility man. If you want a perfect picture of the job that the front office did over the offseason this year, it was the game tonight.
Yeah, I did think about that, too, when I saw that Martinez had hit the Grand Slam. And but, I mean, to an extent, I mean, at one point, yes, I do want to say, yeah, they really should have done it. But on the other hand, you know, we're 5.5, 6.5 out at that point. And, you know, it's one of those things where I sit there and I go, yeah, maybe, but I can talk myself into it either way, but...
Well, and to be clear, I'm on record as saying I do not want the Cardinals going for a rental bat this year. I think it's a waste of time. I don't think this team has shown enough, or it's a waste of assets. This team has not shown enough to deserve a rental bat this year. Martinez represents the kind of bat the Cardinals should have acquired over the offseason, and he represents exactly what a bat like that can do for a lineup against another contender when it matters. But also, he represents opportunities that the Cardinals have had to approve their club and passed on. Or didn't commit enough in one direction, as you said, to acquire that bat. It's not even about Martinez specifically. It's about opportunities missed and a gaping hole in the lineup that everybody saw and the Cardinals refused to address in the offseason. And it's exactly that, those two things that came up and bit him today.
Yeah. Well, I mean, if you talked to Mo. Mo would say he thought he did address it with Matt Carpenter, but that has proven to not be the case. That was a missed gamble.
And we all knew it was. We all said Matt Carpenter should hit lower in the lineup, but he's not a third or fourth hitter. He's a number two hitter. He's being forced back into being a number one hitter again. But none of us really thought, I don't remember one, and when I say us, I'm primarily thinking about those of us who have these kinds of conversations on social media and blogs and media and all of that. Most of us, who, and by that I mean those of us who watch games every day for years, who can compare a roster analytically from one to the other, can look at other teams and say, yeah, these guys have this kind of lineup, we have this kind of lineup, and this is what we've seen come out of that. This is what we see the Cardinals' needs as. And we can look at that and we can constructively discuss it. And when every one of us looked at the lineup, we said, Carpenter's not going to be enough. It's great that he can drop down, but the Cardinals need another bat. Everybody said that. And for Mo, for me, it's a bigger indictment of Mo Zalok's perspective on this roster and his willingness to move when he says things that make you believe he thought he addressed it with Matt Carpenter. Because everyone could look at that lineup and say, no, you didn't. You still have a problem. More specifically, he thought he addressed it with Dexter Fowler. He thought he fixed the lineup by acquiring Fowler. But everyone could look at that lineup and say, no, you didn't.
I don't know that he thought as he fixed it, but it was definitely meant to be a step in the right direction. I don't think they saw somebody this winter that could be that middle of the lineup guy that they want.
And that's fair.
And we talked about it, about finding the right guy, which then I argue that the right guy doesn't actually exist.
Sure.
But it's one of those things where I think, and even though this seems to kind of contradict what I said earlier with pick a direction, I feel like to an extent that fans kind of get in this game where either you have to be going at it, winning right now, today, 100%, who cares about tomorrow, or mm-hmm. you have to be tanking as hard as you can. Yeah. I think fans get caught up in that. But the Cardinals have a decent team. And the addition of Fowler seemed like a good, and I think it will eventually turn into being a good addition. So far, 4 months in, it has not, but you know, it is a step in the right direction. Signing Leak was not the cure-all, but it was a step in the right direction. Signing Fowler was not the cure-all, but it's a step in the right direction. And I think the hope is, you know, if you take enough steps in the right direction, that you end up where you want to go.
Here's the problem the Cardinals keep running into. Those are all fair points, and I agree with them. I think the way I would summarize that is Mo Zalok deservedly so believed this team would perform better the first half position to potentially pick up a bat like a Martinez. They didn't, and it wasn't because they don't have the talent to do it. It was because they severely underperformed from the top to the bottom. Everybody, mm-hmm. except for the starting rotation, underperformed. And even that gave a few spits and hiccups in the beginning. So I think it was fair for him to go into the season saying, okay, look, the right guy doesn't exist right now or he's not available in the offseason. We put together a roster that can get us to the right point to be well-positioned and to have the so-called dry powder available to acquire the right bat for at least this year at the trade deadline. That didn't happen because the roster dropped the ball, literally. Way too often. And
yeah,
but I would say to that, it's just as fair to say, how in the heck could he expect the Cubs to be so bad? You and I talked about their pitching was not going to be near as good this year as it was last year. So we talked about there being a regression for the Cubs. Cardinals,
no.
Even if they expected to have played better in the first half, still had to look at the Cubs and say, they're still going to play a lot better than they have. So, yeah, he could say, I expected us to play better, but everyone still had to expect the Cubs to have played better, too. So I kind of feel like that's a wash. And at the same time, isn't this kind of the approach the Cardinals have taken for 3 years? We're going to put ourselves in a position, and then we're going to acquire that guy. They missed on Price, thank God. They missed on Hayward, thank God. You know, they consistently thought they were going to be able to acquire someone, and then they couldn't. And now we come to the point that you and I have been making for months now. The model is broken. It's time for the Cardinals to reevaluate their model, decisive action to change the model, and to do that, they have to break it. They've got to commit to a direction, make a decision, and acquire a bat or a player that's outside of what you would expect them to do for the last 3 years. The model's broken, and it's time to try a new one.
Yeah, because you need the answer somewhere, and we don't have the answer. And to get the answer, wherever it's going to be, it's like we talked about today a little bit, and you know, finding the right guy that they're willing to go all in on like that, regardless of the cost. And I don't think that guy exists. And
I don't think he
that they're
for one
the point where they're willing
reason.
To give up.
Yeah, I think there's one simple reason that guy does not exist right now. Bill DeWitt. Reason I say that is this. You and I both talked about, now this is, the Cardinals are never going to acquire Mike Trout. This is a purely academic discussion. But I put out on Twitter, just curious if it costs the Cardinals Weaver, Flaherty, Rosie, Sierra, I put someone else in there, and one other prospect, you know, would you do it to acquire Mike Trout? There were a few no's. Most people said yes. You even said, I would give them any five prospects I wanted, not even think twice.
Yep.
But what have we heard about Bill DeWitt repeatedly for years now? He loves the farm system. Loves them. Even the story that I think was Garrett Gould related recently, when we acquired Matt Holliday, that Bill DeWitt was that night was going website to website reading about the players we were giving up, seeing what they were projected to become. We gave up Brett Wallace, who became nothing.
Like, literally the guys from that trade amounted to nothing.
Yeah, now.
And that's the thing, though. For every trade that there's, like, Holiday for these three prospects and these three prospects end up being nothing, there's a Teixeira for four prospects and, like, all four of those prospects turn into something.
Right. They've really come out. Except for the Heron and Mulder deal, there hasn't been a huge miss for the Cardinals in recent memory. They've done fairly well. And again, Bill DeWitt has an outstanding era of Cardinals baseball that he's going to leave behind as his legacy. But in this specific instance, when the Cardinals have ridden mediocrity and the status quo as long as they can go, he is going to become the obstacle to changing that. Because when it comes time to, if the Angels were to call up the Cardinals and say, we want these five, six prospects for Mike Trout, and 75% of us would say, and potentially Mozeliak would say, ouch, that hurts, but okay, thank you very much, we'll take him. And we believe wholeheartedly that we can re-sign him because we have 3 years to woo him, and we know we'll give him whatever the heck he wants. He'll be the right age. He'll be the right player. Give him the contract that we could not give Pujols. But Bill DeWitt would say no. Because he's in love with his farm system.
And we talk about that, but in as much as love with the farm system and prospects as he was, you know, he missed on a golden opportunity to, you know, on that potential game-changing player in Luis Robert, just because he wouldn't go far enough.
But that was about a free agent signing more than it was drafting and developing.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
I don't think you can view that as stock in the farm system. I think you have to view that as a free agent signing, which the Cardinals have missed on for the last few years. I think you almost have to put that situation into the same bucket as the Hayward and David Price types of deals. Where the Cardinals thought they could do it, put forth a contract that should have done it, then got outbid by someone willing to break their own mold. And the Cardinals weren't willing to go that far. Now, I'm not faulting them for not signing Price or Hayward, because the Hayward situation was a different kind of deal, and I wouldn't have given Price that money either. I said it at the time. But the Robert situation, I think, has to go in the same bucket, because they got to a point where they could have potentially given more, as far as we know, and they chose not to. That wasn't about drafting and developing. That was another free agent situation where they felt like this is the market should be at. Somebody else is going to go higher. We're unwilling to see it that way.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. I mean, and now they're caught in a situation where to find that player, they're going to have to give up, be in a position to give up multiple prospects, or they're not going to find it.
Yeah, I mean, the Cardinals, when they started this restock the farm system movement, it was never intended to be their sole pipeline for talent. They always said what they wanted to do was find the right mix of veterans and farm system guys. They wanted to find two or three guys through trades or free agency or what have you, guys that they could identify as veterans that were known quantities and they could count on their production and their leadership, and they would form at least a part of that core player dynamic. And then they would complement that with all of these great prospects coming up through the farm system, because they knew if they were going to always be contending, they weren't going to get the Mike Trouts and Bryce Harpers of the world. They were going to get guys in the later rounds. So they were going to be complementary players, and every once in a while they'd find a gem. But when you look at even Derek Gould's tweet, even if it had been accurate, even if you just take the eight guys, the seven guys, and say these guys were drafted and developed by the Cardinals, I don't know that that's something to be proud of, because that's never been the Cardinals' intention. When they started down this road, it was draft and develop as much as we can, but we know we're going to have to acquire veterans through free agency or trade. They haven't been able to do that since Matt Holliday.
Yeah. And, it's funny because I've been thinking a lot the last couple weeks about how, you know, when Albert Pujols showed up, he wasn't asked to be the star. Like, we didn't look at Albert Pujols as he's our number three hitter of the future. He's going to be the savior of this roster, you know, because we had Jim Edmonds, we had Mark McGwire, we had other hitters on that team that he was a complimentary piece when he came up. And he was able to play himself into that star role.
Right.
Whereas any guy comes up now, I feel like we're expecting almost any guy who comes from Memphis now to be that star. And
yeah.
I wonder how that affects a player's development.
And then, you know, another way to say it is Albert Pujols should have been Ryan Ludwig. Ryan Ludwig came up when we had no offense and we were just trying to pull somebody up, and he came up and he stuck, and then he had an all-star year. And now he's done. Pujols forced his way into the picture and then stuck and became a superstar. That wasn't supposed to happen. He was supposed to be a guy like Ryan Ludwig, who came with very little fanfare, ended up on the roster because we needed somebody, and he pushed his way into the discussion, and then had a good year, had two good years, had three good years, and then he was done. Pujols was the rarity. We keep treating it like he's the norm in this organization. The bottom line is where the Cardinals are at right now with drafting and developing so much of their roster has always been and still is plan B. Just haven't been able to get plan A on track since Matt Holliday.
Yep. Yeah. And even if Pujols 2.0 came out of nowhere. I'm not sure that he would actually solve the problems on this team.
Yeah, he was supposed to be Oscar Tavares. And
yes.
as Tara has pointed out for years, this team still has not recovered from that loss. They tried to. They haven't been able to. But the bottom line is they're operating on plan B and they keep treating it like it's plan A now. And it's time to recognize that at best it's plan C and they need a new plan A.
Yeah. We're on probably like plan D or E now. But we've got about 5 minutes left, so we can start wrapping this discussion up. So what do you got going on over at stlcardsandstuff.com?
You know, honestly, I'm trying to ride out the trade deadline. You know, this year, you know how it is. Usually when trade deadline season hits, it's just manna from heaven for bloggers because, you know, we can pick any player we want to and say, I think we should go acquire them, or maybe they'll acquire them. Or I saw a post today from, I think it was Redbird Rants, that said maybe Jerko's being rested for a trade, which was pure speculation. yeah, I got into the article and I thought, well, maybe they picked up something I missed. And no, it was just speculation. I'm just kind of tired of it this year. So I'm trying to ride out the trade deadline and then write about what the Cardinals did or did not do once that is passed. So I would check in, you know, there's a piece out there about, I call it the last word on the Matt Adams trade, which is really long, but I feel like had some decent stuff in it. So if you're sick of all the Matt Adams discussion, should we have kept him? Should we have flipped him for more at a later date? Or is he just streaky? Go check that out. Goes through a lot of his career with the Cardinals and what he's doing now, and is he slumping or what have you. But then I would check back after the trade deadline and see what we think about what the Cardinals did or did not do this weekend. This weekend's going to be a big one. I wouldn't say it's club defining, because I think we would probably both agree they're not going to do a whole lot between now and Monday. The critical juncture for this organization is going to be this offseason, most likely. But there's going to be a lot of visceral reaction among the fan base to what the Cardinals do or don't do this weekend, because a lot of people are just sick and tired of what they've seen for the last 2 or 3 years.
Yep. Yeah, you need to do like what I do. I don't write a lot about what the Cardinals should or shouldn't do, except I did write my latest column piece that I did was saying it's time for Mo to finish the job and finish cleaning out the house and get Matheny out of here. But as far as the trade deadline, what I do is I have what I call my rumor check series, where, you know, like, let's see, I did one on Lance Lynn that was exceptionally popular. Because this month might
hits,
be my my biggest month
wow,
in like 7 years.
You finally broke that 20 hit mark.
With this, the Lance Lynn rumor check got more hit than April did this year.
Wow, 35.
The whole month of April. Yeah.
35. That's awesome.
But, so Bob Nightingale tweets out that the Royals were aggressively pursuing starting pitching, including Lance Lynn. And, you know, and I just discuss whether that makes sense, whether the two would make good partners, and whether or not generally I buy the rumor. And, you know, I try to do that on every rumor that the Cardinals are linked to somebody on. But that's a fun one to write, because those are the kind of things I like.
Right.
Dealing with all the potentials. But I hate coming up with stuff on my own. I hate starting my own rumors unless it's a Skip Schumacher for Jose Molina.